I think the biggest thing is when we go through our season and we look back at the season, we don't just focus on the good or only focus on the bad, because I think then you lose sight of the big picture. There were some times where some really good plays happened that the scheme might have been terrible and, you know, we just have a freak quarterback, or there might have been some plays that might not have went well and the execution wasn't good enough. But if I got in that situation again, would I call the same play? And so really just take an opportunity to just kind of dive in and just kind of look at everything in a whole. And one thing I can tell you, we obviously have to get better.
Bills offensive coordinator Joe Brady, who sat with us yesterday, saying we got to get better. You know, one thing Brady did there kind of gives you, you know, we're all just like armchair quarterbacks and coordinators and, you know, guys that yap on the radio and men and women that just yell from the seats. But
there are no arms on these chairs.
That's true. He said something funny, Sal. He said, I'm Josh's biggest fan and I'm Josh's biggest hater. Like the idea that, I'm the offensive coordinator. I know when he does stuff wrong or when – you know, he's amazing.
Someone's got to tell him when he does something wrong.
He's amazing. But he kind of said, like, I must be Josh's biggest hater because he's the one sitting there telling him, like, this wasn't okay. And in that clip right there, sometimes a play looks great and just because your free quarterback bailed you out.
Yeah.
So I think Brady's always been pretty good about whatever. He's got a football player's mindset, right, about sometimes something works out and it was wrong. And sometimes you do your best and it didn't hit, but you're okay with it.
Process over results.
Yeah, there's a play with Kincaid. He and Allen miss on a play, but he was happy about it because of something went right. They saw it the same way, blah, blah, blah. So, you know, Brady's an interesting interview to kind of, you know, chew through offense with like that. I think he's been good the last couple seasons. Sal's sitting with us for a couple more minutes. You can give us a call. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Yesterday, pads came on. We talked about that a little bit. Here's a follow-up from something we talked about earlier in the week. Matt Milano. Oh. I asked you, like, what version of Matt Milano are the Bills going to get? And it seems that if 5 days into camp, the version is the Matt Milano you know.
I think the version I've been seeing is the Matt Milano we've seen in the Buffalo Bills in a Buffalo Bills uniform for most of his career. It's really just about him staying healthy. I mean, he is just really making himself known out here, right? I mean, we know the player, but now you're seeing, he looks no different than what he's looked at his peak form kind of, you know, during practices. Can that sustain? Can he stay healthy, stay on the field? All of that, I'm telling you, if he can, he could be in for a really, really big year.
Yeah. I mean – Do you remember, was he banged up in the playoffs last year?
Yeah, so
like there was a question about there that wasn't
so
there
what
going?
Happened was he was still coming off the injury.
Right.
Played maybe four games, but then you're in a spot where rests against week 18. So he didn't have a ton of time, but he was crescendoing.
Yeah.
Gets to the playoff game against the Broncos, plays every snap on defense, right?
Right.
We talked about that. I think Dorian Williams didn't play a snap.
Right.
Goes to the Ravens game. Remember, he has the knockdown of the two-point conversion.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Against the Ravens, right?
Yeah, because they two failed two-point conversions.
Right. So he's playing well. At the end of that game, he wasn't on the field the last few plays. Like, that's kind of weird.
Right.
The Bills didn't really say anything about it, and then we realized and found out he had a hamstring injury that he played through against the Chiefs. How serious it was, I'm not sure. He still played, but, I mean, I got the feeling, just the way it was talked about, that if it was a regular season game, maybe they would have sat him.
Right.
But he played in the Chiefs game, you know, so he did deal with that. And that's the thing that you have to be weary of, right? I mean, he's over 30 years old. Mm-hmm. The way he plays, the stress he puts on his body is why sometimes it can break down sometimes. And that's what happened. Now, nothing you can do about a broken leg. It's happened twice in his career now.
Yeah.
Broke his leg his rookie year against the Jets. Remember that? Down in the end zone, gets rolled on. And then he breaks his leg in London on a pile. There's nothing you can do about that, right? He also had the pec injury, the biceps injury.
Yeah.
Right? At home, and it was back in Orchard Park after preseason.
Okay.
He has the biceps injury. The freak accidents, right? But these are because of the stress he puts in his body, the way he works out, the way he plays. Mm-hmm. He's a football player, and things like that are going to happen sometimes.
Because really, like, I guess you got a little of it last year. Maybe he's got the hamstring he's battling through in the AFC Championship game. I feel like the talent level, most would think the potential for this linebacker duo, especially if you want to make it a trio, if Dorian Williams, you know, ever gets in with like special packages, but that Bernard and Milano has the capability of being one of the best linebacker duos in the league. And really, we still haven't seen it for a long stretch.
Right.
You know, like, the hope would be that this season will be that. I know Bernard's already got a little bit of a nagging thing now, but that duo, Sal, I think the ceiling is crazy high, and we just, again, maybe the Baltimore game is like one of the rare instances we've actually been able to see it.
Yeah, I agree. And it is a shame. Can we imagine if between the two of them, if we had been always able to have Matt Milano and Troy Bernard on the field, like, as a pairing, right? And
right.
It just hasn't been able to happen. So you're right. They could be really good together. And now you have Bernard that's hurt right now.
Right.
Right. It just seems like they can never match up. We did see it for a little bit. It'd be great. They just play so well off each other, guys. They really do. They know each other so well. They've been around.
Yep.
You know, it's Terrell Bernard's fourth year now. Right. He's been in those meeting rooms with Matt for the last 3+ years. Mm-hmm. And they just know each other, how they think, instinctual. And I just think they work such in concert with each other.
Sal Capaccio, one quick positional note. We haven't really talked with you too much about what's happening at right tackle with Spencer Brown mm-hmm. missing some time. And no updated timeline on him, right? We found out day one was it's a flare-up and nothing since. But Tylon Grable, like, how are things going at the right tackle spot, and what is it looking like? If Spencer Brown is missing any time, what's the plan?
So you have to think Tylon Grable would be the kind of front runner, but I would say do not count out Ryan Vandermark. He has been getting some time there as a swing tackle. He was the swing tackle a couple of years ago. And whenever he's had to play, he's played well, yeah. Ryan Vandermark. He's a guy they really like. He's an athletic young guy, big guy. He's played there, and he's been getting some time there as well. Remember, though, Tylon Grable kind of took that spot, and Ryan Vandermark was the he was a healthy scratch last year during games. I wouldn't count out Ryan Vandermark for the swing tackle job. I still think it would be Tylon Grable's spot, and what I mean by that is to fill in for Spencer Brown if he were to go down. I think one thing is Spencer Brown's really good. I think the Bills are really happy, though, with the depth they have to – you know, a replaceable guy if you have to go into some games with him.
Yeah. The one thing that's tough about that spot, I'm trying to remember, Brown was the one I heard talking about this, or maybe it was even Joe O, that part of Brown's job is that awareness of when Josh kicks out of the pocket and rolls to his right, because then you almost become like you got to kick out with him and become that like personal protector in front of him. And that's something you pick up, I think, playing with him over the years. And I wonder – not to say that it would be bad. Maybe Josh just wouldn't do it as much. I wonder what that would look like with Grable or – We did see a little of Vandermark last year.
And Vandermark – did Vandermark play left tackle for Deion a couple years ago against the Patriots?
Sounds familiar.
Yeah.
I think he did that as well. It's a great point, Joe. There was a video I posted yesterday, maybe 2 days ago, on the O-line working. There was a drill.
Yeah.
And they were doing like a box-out drill. They were starting shoulder to shoulder. So I'm – standing here, you're standing there. If you're watching on the video stream, I'm standing here, you're standing there. And Coach Cromer blew the whistle, and you had to turn backward to try to, hey, my guy's spinning, I got to box him out. It became like a basketball box out. It's a drill that they worked on, actually.
Yeah.
And that reminds me of what you're saying. Like, Josh gets out of the pocket. Where's my guy? Oh, he's here. I got to spin. I got to box him out. I can't even get in front of him.
Right.
And they actually were working on that.
Hmm. All right. When does Spencer Brown become concerning for you?
It's getting there pretty quickly because I haven't seen anything about him.
Yeah. And back injuries.
He's out there with his team watching and, you know, walking around. But
he was part of the Josh Allen 99 reveal, Madden 99 reveal video.
I did see
them.
That.
The offensive linemen are out there to show him he got the 99 rating in Madden. And Spencer Brown's there for that. So he's here. But
he's got to get on the field. And I think it's more concerning because he's had back injuries and back issue. That's the issue. And that's the reason it's heightened in my book.
Yeah.
So, by the way, speaking of that video, did you see Deion Dawkins' hat?
No.
Sal, did you see it?
I have not. Is it 99 or something?
How offended is Sal going to be by Deion Dawkins' hat?
Yeah.
I don't know if you saw it. Here you go, Sal.
It's got the Yankees.
Oh, what are we doing, Deion? You can't get the Yankees
and
Mets on the same cap.
And the Mets on the same cap. Is that a foul? Hat foul?
I think so.
Both logos.
He's a New York fan, maybe.
What if he's making a statement, I play for a New York football team and I like New York baseball teams?
Both of them?
Yeah, right.
Both of them.
He's like, we all play in New York, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah. I looked up, so on the site where I'm assuming he got the same hat, they have, I don't know if this is a new, is this the new upside down hat?
Tell me they have like Dodgers, Angels.
Well, there's Dodgers and Yankees.
Oh, wow.
There's a Red Sox and Yankees hat, which to me is
wild.
Ridiculous, that one.
Now, if you
that's one that I would wear just because I don't like either team, just to make mad every fan, like both at the same time.
If you wore a cap that said, had an AFC East logo or something, and then had the AFC logos.
Like all four?
Yeah. I think it'd be okay. No.
I wouldn't wear that.
Okay, then I would think you like work for the league or or something. You work something in the office, right?
What's this?
I don't know.
What is this company? What are they doing?
It's called Culture Kings.
They're doing
multiple. Now there are other hats where it's like, there are two teams in the same market. Like a college team.
Bills, Sabres.
Are
you about to tell me they have like Auburn and Alabama on the same hat?
No, I haven't seen that one.
What's Yankees Red Sox.
I saw a Yankees Red Sox.
I'm telling you this. If they put Syracuse Georgetown on that cap, all right, I'm buying it just so
that
I
would
can
be
do things with it.
Do they have
you're not going to put Michigan-Ohio State?
Michigan, Ohio State, the same cap. I mean, we might have to ask Jordan Hancock. Jordan, what would happen if you saw
these hats for?
A cap.
Wow.
All right, guys, I got to get running.
All right, thanks, Sal.
You got it.
Sal Capaccio here from training camp. Well, yeah, what?
Let me find the ones where there's multiple logos.
This is exactly the spot where it's like, oh, yeah.
We've gone too far?
No. Anytime this happens, like, oh, this is a new thing that's happening. And when you're old like me, you try really hard not to sound like you're just like, oh, that can't happen. And then I sound like the oldest guy on earth. Like you and your upside down logos. Like,
I'm scrolling through those right now. You want an upside down Diamondbacks logo? It looks like a V.
Yeah, of course. Yes.
Yep.
Who wouldn't want an
upside down Pirates, of course.
Upside down Diamondbacks logo. what do they call the double hats? What are they?
I thought it was two logo. I was looking at them yesterday. Where'd they go? I think you just search two logo hats, and you're going to find a list of them.
Jeez. Well, all right. I mean, I guess we're doing stuff like that. Yankees and Red Sox on the same hat.
Yeah.
Nuts. Anthony in Buffalo is on the line. Anthony, good morning.
I don't know how I feel about that Yankees and Red Sox hat. That's kind of... That's crazy, I feel like.
Yeah.
It's almost against. But, all right, so, hey, guys. So, I'm just kind of curious, you know, if there's anybody that you guys have seen that might stand out in camp, you know, some of the new rookies. Is there somebody that, you know, you look at and say, this kid's going to have a good year? And then my second one is that rookie tight end that we picked up that's, like, known for being a blocker. How does he look, and, you know, is there a scheme of some sort for him yet, or if it's too early? But have a good day, guys. Enjoy camp, and here we go. Go Bills.
Yeah, thanks, Anthony. On the rookies, you know, as you're saying, like a guy that's standing out, I'm eager. I'm going to hang for practice today. I've missed the last couple. Sunday, of course, and then yesterday I couldn't stay. But I want to see if Keon Coleman can continue to stack really strong practices because, I mean, listen, if he becomes this weapon and this whatever, exactly what they want him to be. I'll just say it that way. If he becomes exactly what they want him to be, not, you know, I'm not looking for Jamar Chase out here, just the guy they think they can count on to be a big, strong target, like that's super important. What I want is someone for his fourth and five, and it doesn't matter that they know where the ball might be going because – it's such a reliable connection that Allen and Shakir, Allen and Coleman, Allen and Kincaid, they've got such a good chemistry there. And, you know, every time Keon has a good day, you might think, like, it's only camp, right? Or this is true of any player. It's true of rookies, too. I'm sorry, Anthony, you asked about rookies. This is true of new players, Elijah Moore, Josh Palmer. Like, these practices have to matter to the quarterback himself. Seven straight days of good practices throwing the ball to this player, like that is noteworthy, right? That's a relationship that's forming, whether that's Kincaid, Coleman, Shakir, all up and down the lineup, you know? Allen's talking about body language out there. He's praising Josh Palmer, he's talking body language. If he's noticing that kind of stuff, that could be body language when something goes well, something goes bad. It could also be what he does with his shoulders when he's trying to sell a safety or blah, blah. So, you know, you're out here practicing, yes, but for the pass catchers, you're looking to impress number 17 and show him, I'm worth your throw. I'm worth your look.
Right. There would be timing stuff, of course. It's important as well. I wonder how much off-structure things they would work on at this point of the year, too. Like, who's Josh picking out when he's scrambling, when he's rolling out of the pocket? Who's he looking for?
Usually,
who's working back to the football?
Well, that's because that's not who he's picking. Because usually he's looking for whoever is going down the field.
That's
Ray Davis down there. He doesn't care who it is.
That's right.
I mean,
who was he throwing to when Coleman caught it against the Jets? Wasn't it Ty Johnson?
Yeah.
And he did that again against Denver.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, the most famous maybe of all is Pat DeMarco. Don't care.
Remember the play?
I know that's a different version
Pat
of Josh.
DeMarco.
And I'm not saying it is something.
No,
I don't,
that's part of it.
It's something I don't like. You know, I always want to give him somebody down there.
Yeah.
The only play they hit against Baltimore in the game they lost 35-10 was a shot to Shakir.
Right. Right.
He's looking for, when it's broken, he's looking for deep breaks.
Remember the play against the Lions where he gets smoked along the sidelines, and right before that, like, he's out at the sideline, and he's pointing to Coleman. Like, go. Like, keep going. And then he launches it down the field.
You had a Gabe touchdown in the opener against the Rams on a broken play like that where it's
I guess you're right. Like, these recent examples are all down the field. I don't know. Like, I have this recollection of when Davis is playing and it's Diggs and it's John Brown that whenever those guys were catching off structure, like, they're working back to the ball.
Yeah.
And maybe that's the type of player that it is. Maybe it's where you're coming from, right? Why are Ray Davis and Ty Johnson running down the field?
Because
where are they running from?
Yeah, they are short.
They're running from short. The only place they have to run is down the field. What about the guys that are down the field? They're coming back, and maybe that's Palmer. Palmer's a separator. Maybe Palmer would be the guy that, you know, if Josh is running away, he doesn't always have to launch it deep because he's got that guy that's working back to him.
Yeah. 803-0550 and 1-888-550-2550 if you'd like to join us. Strange story out of Vegas with Christian Wilkins, right? Like,
I have no idea what to make of the update on that. It felt like, okay, this all makes sense. He got cut. It was a dispute over
medical,
how he rehabbed his injury, and a belief that maybe it wouldn't heal properly, and they used that rehab dispute as a way to get out of the contract. But then now what do I have? He kissed a teammate on the top of the head?
Yeah. You have Schefter talking to McAfee about this.
Yeah.
And the way that Schefter is delivering the claim, like he kissed a teammate on the top of the head and the teammate got offended and went to HR. When Schefter is initially saying that to McAfee, he looks over and reads it off of a phone or a screen and almost kind of to make sure, let me make sure I get exactly what I've been told here because –
yeah,
it is very odd. It's very odd. I mean,
especially as a reason why he would be released outright.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Schefter kind of painted it as a look into some of the problems that were going on with Christian Wilkins. So, it's odd. It's very odd. Josh has it here. Okay, here's Schefter with McAfee.
From speaking to people inside the locker room, I think what everybody's dancing around and tiptoeing around is the fact that when you speak to people there inside the locker room, they say that Christian playfully went to kiss a teammate on top of his head, and those same people said that that player took offense to it. So that's what everybody's been dancing around and tap dancing around, an incident in the locker room where he allegedly, playfully kissed a teammate on top of his head. That teammate felt offended by it. And that's what a lot of this talk and speculation that people have just been floating around out there is about.
All right. One of the odder NFL stories we'll get this year.
That's a very strange update.
Right?
On it. I don't even know, like, okay.
Yeah.
It's just weird.
It is an odd story. NFL.com.
HR locker room stories in general. Once you hear, like, when's the last time you heard HR in NFL locker room in the first, like,
Incognito and Jonathan Martin?
There you go.
Like, is that it?
And that is.
A decade ago?
Decade ago.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it doesn't happen, because I'm sure it does and we don't find out about it, but just very strange on that.
Yep. Traylon Burks, first rounder for the Titans, waived.
Never really worked for him.
All-time worst trades, it's up there.
A.J. Brown.
It's all-time. It's up there. You know, it's funny.
He's the sixth receiver taken in that draft.
It's the opposite of – well, I shouldn't say the opposite, but – forever we had the Diggs-Jefferson trade. Like, oh, you could have just taken the receiver. Like, that's right, you could have done that. And sometimes when you do that, the receiver you take isn't good.
Right.
And the Titans, I guess, decided, like, yeah, we'll just take the receiver instead. And, I mean, shout out Matt Harmon, receptionperception.com. Like, he's like, this guy's not good. Burks, to me, there was never any idea that Treylon Burks was going to be good, and he never was.
And then, no, and he's by far, I mean, among, I guess actually the guy that went right ahead of him is not great either, but in that receiver class, like, it's not even close. He's the worst one. Drake London, great.
Great.
Garrett Wilson.
Great.
Chris Olave.
Great, but, you know, needs to put it together and stay healthy.
And then Jameson Williams, who's good, I think.
I think when he's just, Jameson Williams
just
is
on the field.
He's a role player. He's a role player. He's not a full-time receiver. He's a role player, and he's dynamic.
But he's very dangerous.
To me, Jameson Williams, I would almost make a comparison in, again, not the way they play really at all, but that's what I kind of expect Keon Coleman to be. Role that is exploitable, usable. Not going to be ever Garrett Wilson or Chris Olave. Never going to be Drake London, but – oh, no, we've got this thing that we use in our offense, and when we use it, they're just like, what are we supposed to do about that? Jameson Williams, his is just, what, ungodly speed?
Sure. He had 1,000 yards last year on 91 targets.
That's right.
91 targets.
That's a role player that Ben Johnson found a way to just like, man, this is going to work. I had a stat for you.
And then Jahan Dotson was the one other guy.
Dotson.
He's not good, but he did make a big catch in the Super Bowl.
I saw one thing on the Bears this year and on Ben Johnson. See if I can pull it up here, if I can find it. That people with the Bears are going to – here you go. From Jacob Infante, who wrote this, that the Bears and their fans, lead NFL draft analyst, and he writes a Bears blog, be patient, he says. You have to be patient with Ben Johnson and Caleb Williams. Like, put it in – write it down right now that if they start slow, that doesn't mean it's going to fail. The Lions, in the first year Ben Johnson was their offensive coordinator, started 1-6. And like Goff found it and then all of a sudden became like, oh, this offense is unstoppable. They started 1-6 and they finished 8-2. And Jacob Infante basically wrote, 8-9 for the Bears is a good year. Like, if they get that done and it starts to come, that's a sign it's working. Don't freak out too early on the Bears on Ben Johnson. So
8-9, though, being a good season for them?
In that division, you've got three powerhouses in the division. It's going to be tough.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be tough, but, man, year two for the quarterback, and you got good talent around them, and I guess they did only win 5 games last year. Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, it's just, to me, it's about division. If they're in the, let's be real, in the AFC East, they might want to go
NFC South, 10-7. Maybe it sounds different.
Yeah, but that's 6 games against the Lions, the Packers, and the Vikings, who were all playoff teams last year.
That division is good.
You want the rest of their?
It's not. I mean, each one of those teams has a question. The Lions lost both their coordinators. The Packers, what's an elite thing the Packers have? Like, on their whole roster. They're good, no doubt.
Their quarterback's really good.
And then Minnesota, like, I don't know. They have a quarterback that that in college was hidden by his offense.
He's
going to walk in there and be – McCarthy maybe is the biggest thing for me. I love O'Connell. I love the Vikings. But, I mean, that
JJ
guy, his college offense hid him. And he's just going to show up and lead them to what, 12 wins?
Just quickly, do you know who they play?
The Bears?
Yeah.
No.
They play the AFC North.
That's tough.
That's tough. It's Baltimore, Cincinnati, Pittsburgh, and Cleveland. They play San Francisco. They play Philadelphia. They play Cincinnati.
That's tough.
They play Washington.
That's tough.
And maybe 8-9 is a good year for them. It's tough. Joe Marino of the Lockdown Bills podcast, he'll be joining us coming up. And Bobby Babbage at 9:15, Bills defensive coordinator. Jeremy and Joe, live from St. John Fisher here on WGR.